Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, and we're back for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And as always, I'm here with my co-host, Sherry Pang. Now, Sherry, I know you're mobile right now, right?
I am mobile for the, yes, I am. And it's,
awesome.
I'm watching a beautiful sunset. It's amazing. You can see it bright and, you know, through the trees. And as a matter of fact, I am at a cemetery just parked over here so I can listen to you guys. It's called Miller's Cemetery. So I'm parked in the cemetery, and here we are talking about Paranormal Horizons.
So we're broadcasting live from a probably a haunted cemetery. I mean, aren't they all haunted? And my haunted basement. So if anything paranormal happens this evening, we'll be able to discuss it.
And record it, right? With EVPs or pictures,
yeah.
Or something, right, Jake? Oh,
there'll my goodness.
There'll
be a record.
Yeah. That's crazy. But anyway, tonight, I'm so glad. And we haven't had him back for a while. The guy is very well known and sought after in TV and radio and just all around, just a sweetheart. Last time he was supposed to be on, he just lost his father. And we want to welcome back Lon Strickler. Many of you don't know who he is, but he deals with everything from in the paranormal. Don't quote me on it, but I'm not sure how many years he's been a researcher and an expert, but I believe at least 30, maybe 40 years. And the guy just knows his stuff, and I'm glad to welcome him back. So, yeah, I'm excited to have him back, along with our other guests that we have at a weekly basis. And it's just amazing. These guys are just the expert of the field, and, you know, it just really humbles me to be able to have them come in on the show and be able to share their experiences and educate our listeners.
And I'll bring them on in just one second, but I hadn't had a chance to talk to you about this, but I hadn't, and I, well, it's not really an idea. It's something I used to do on the show way back, and I wanted your feedback on it. Way back in the day,
okay.
I used to actually pre-record a news program, and I'm considering doing that again. So basically how that would work is sometime in the week prior to the show, I would pre-record like a news reading with sound effects and stuff like that. I'm considering doing that again. What do you think? So we would have a news segment, 5 minutes, probably no longer than 5 minutes for each show. What do you think about that?
I'd be open to it. It'd be something different.
Yeah, because I was thinking, yeah. I got a vacation coming up, and I'm thinking about I'm just going to bury myself in my basement for a while, start working with the audio like I used to. You know, we used to play all these intros and commercials and extras and all that, and we haven't been playing that stuff lately, even though I still have it, but I'm considering I want to revamp pretty much everything. So I think my vacation that's coming up is going to be a perfect time to do that. And I'll be honest with you, one of the reasons I'm really motivated to do that is we've become pretty dang popular in the paranormal podcast world. As I told you, I was starting to look at some statistics on how many people listen to this show and stuff like that, and our listenership has exploded. And the other thing I noticed, that if anybody goes into the Blog Talk Radio site, into the search bar, and you just type the word paranormal, this show is the first thing that pops up on the list. So I'm not sure how the metrics work for that. We used to be third. Now we're first. So things are moving. It's time
Yay.
To invest more time in the show.
That's wonderful.
And that's
and,
that.
You know, Jason, October will be my third year with you, and I've enjoyed every bit of it. I mean, it's absolutely, we work together well as a team. And yes, we have times where you're not being able to be online. I mean, not on air at the times where we had technical difficulties. But I just love doing what I'm doing with you, and I love our guests. And it's a good way to just share and being able to help others. So that's what we're doing, is we're being able to share our guests and ourselves with our listeners, and hope take what you need and leave the rest. And like I said many times, the things that we post in Facebook or even, you know, whatever it is, it may not be our personal opinion or thought, but it's for entertainment purposes only.
Absolutely. Well, with that, we'll bring our guest on. I see he's in queue. Let's get him on.
Okay.
Hey, Lon, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Lon. Thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Good. Glad you're How's it on go? There, and thank you for staying to be with us.
Appreciate being on.
So I got the impression this is just going to be kind of a paranormal free-for-all. Is that right, Sherry? We can just talk about whatever? We can pick each other's
yes,
brain?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
We can talk about from sea monsters to all kinds of things.
Well, Lon, one of the things in my years in kind of in the field doing podcasting, the one thing that's really I'm such a big skeptic on are a lot of the cryptid stuff. So have you heard anything lately around anywhere in the world where there's new cryptid sightings, Bigfoot, anything like that? Is there anything that's standing out that you've run across?
Well, there's been a lot going on. I mean, this past 2 years have been pretty active for me and my team, especially with the sightings in Chicago, the winged humanoid sightings. That actually still continues in and around the Chicago area up into Wisconsin. And there have been a few sightings in other places, but this is a phenomena that we've really been concentrated on. And, of course, here in Pennsylvania, we've been working mostly with the upright canine-type beings that people are reporting. That started for us back in 2000. Let me get the date right. I guess 2015, we started receiving reports. And at this point now, we're close to 25 reports in the state of Pennsylvania.
So it sounds like there's a lot of activity. Is there any consensus or ideas, you know, what's going on out there? Or let me ask, what's the description of what's being spotted?
Well, in Chicago, which has been, there's been a lot of press about it. And I wrote a book about it in December. These sightings of this 5 to 6 foot bat-like being, humanoid, tall and thin with a thin head. Some had crowns on the head, the wings shaped like that of a bat, with a wingspan of 10 to 12 foot, able to propel itself without opening its wings. I mean, actually from the ground up. And this thing turned up on several occasions. And in fact, we've got a total of over 70 sightings since March of 2017. Now, had there been a few previous sightings back in 2011, and off and on, there's been a sighting scattered here and there. But for the most part, the flap was back in the early spring into early fall of 2017.
That's a lot of sightings, I mean, for such a short period of time. And they're all pretty much describing generally the same thing?
Yeah, for the most part. You know, some of the early sightings were described as being like a Mothman being or an insectoid. Then we had a few that they described as a large owl. But for the most part, 95% of the sightings have been this bat-winged being.
Were they able to get
a close encounter of the body or the face?
Oh, yeah. We had several people that walked up onto this thing. I guess the most dramatic was in Bolingbrook, Illinois, which is a suburb west of Chicago, where this woman who would take a walk through the neighborhood playground and around there at nighttime, just as normal routine. And she walked up onto this thing that was standing in the middle of a pavement. and it was very tall, and she just thought actually it was two people embracing. This was around about 10:30 at night, and as she got closer to it, she could hear this gargling sound coming from it. She wasn't sure what it was. She got it within about 15 feet of it, and it actually turned. And then she realized this wasn't two people embracing, but a large being. And the wings seemed to be wrapped around the body. I actually believe it was sleeping standing up, to be honest with you. And as soon as she saw it, you know, what it was, she was shocked by it. Now, the head wasn't exposed. It was covered by these wings that were wrapped around the body. And she got off the path, got onto the grass to get away from it. And after she was going away from it, she started to become very weak and tired, that she actually had to sit down on a bench and rest herself. She kept an eye on this thing, but it, you know, it continued to stay where it was. And she later regained herself a bit, got up and quickly moved to her home, which was nearby. So as soon as she got home, she started checking online to try to get a description or, you know, to get an identification of what this thing was. And eventually she found my my phone number and called me. And I guess she got a hold of me about 45 minutes later. And it was very dramatic. And her son was actually at home with her. And he wanted to go back out and see what it was. So what they did, I mean, this was before they called me. What they had done, he got in the car with her. They drove just down the street to the playground to see if they could find this thing. And he sensed something was looking at them. And as they went by, something stood up behind a large hedge. And he got a quick look at it, but he didn't get a defining look. So they were kind of freaked out, and they went on home very quickly. Then they called me.
The first thing that pops in my head when I start hearing about owls, and I don't know why, maybe I've watched too much science fiction or documentaries, or, you know, creatures in the middle of the night, the first thing that pops in my head is aliens. You know, somebody's having an alien episode or abduction, and it's like some screen memory where they're seeing a being that's not really there because it's covering up the fact that they were abducted. That might be a little out there. I don't know.
Well, you know, at this point, I'm looking at all kinds of scenarios as to what this thing or these things are. Most of the sightings are very fleeting sightings, you know, especially if the thing's flying. Many of the times it's been sighted, people say it's got red, bright eyes. It will leave out a shriek occasionally. It's been spotted by people in all ranges of life, including police officers. And it's, you know, though we got 70-odd reports so far, who knows how many people have actually seen this thing. I personally believe this is a being that comes from either another dimension or a parallel universe of some type and is coming through some type of portal or wormhole. They don't stay long. We did have a sighting in Chicago, actually not far from Wrigley Field, where these two older women saw this thing flying during the day, flying over an intersection in front of them, and it suddenly disappeared, just like it went into a void somewhere. And there was a person across the street from them who saw it as well, and they ran off. And of course, they made their way home very quickly. So, you know, we don't know what it is exactly. We can only speculate, but at this point now, for the most part, we believe this is some type of being that's coming in from another reality.
There hasn't been any sort of aggression or anything, any claims that anybody's been assaulted by it or killed or anything?
There have been some reports of this thing actually being aggressive, but there haven't been any physical contact. There was a report back in 2015 of a similar type being that followed this man and woman home. Now this was in Chicago as well, and this thing actually landed on the car as they were parked and was able to get an arm in the side window and tried to attack the woman in the passenger side. They took off, and this thing actually followed them to their home. And when they got out of the car, this thing landed on her back and caused several lacerations on her back.
Wow.
So, you know, as far as actually attacking and physically making contact, that's the only one I know of.
I mean, if something like that happened to me, I would probably never go outside ever again, daylight or night. What about you, Sherry? If you'd seen something like that, how would you take that?
Well, definitely it would be very traumatic. And I don't know if I would go out for a while, but I would probably overcome it probably. But it's amazing how something that most people cannot even fathom, something like this exists. There are things that we don't know that really do. This is probably just the tip of the iceberg, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there's stuff going out there. You know, this whole parallel dimension thing, I don't think that's really outside of the realm of possibility. I don't know a lot about quantum theory or anything, but, you know, they're constantly discovering new things, and it wouldn't surprise me if something could cross the veil into our reality, and, you know, it just wouldn't be surprising to me.
I think it's very possible in the paranormal world as well as the natural world for these unknown type of beings, and I'm talking about physical beings coming through some type of gateway or some type of portal. For the most part, when people talk about like ultra-terrestrials or interdimensional beings, they're referring to non-corporeal type of entities where there's no substance. Basically, it's like that of a spirit. Or, but I do believe that there is a possibility that corporeal beings can manifest through wormholes or gateways to other dimensions or universes.
You ever seen that movie Stargate from back in the 90s?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It would surprise me if the government has some sort of apparatus where they're able to, you know, open a wormhole somewhere else. And maybe that's how the world's going to end someday. You know, there's going to be an invasion. I know it's been done in movies. That would be kind of terrifying, though.
Well, I'm actually working on a theory now that I'm eventually going to write about that has something to do with this very subject, and the possibility that there very well may be a Stargate-like structure or whatever. And I really don't know what it is because it hasn't been found, but there's just a lot of evidence now that, this theory may be real. And in particular, I'm talking about some of the discoveries in the past couple of years in Egypt and some of the theories that have come out of there. Now, you know, of course, I don't have any evidence to that, but there have been a lot of strange discoveries over the years that very well may come to light more broadly and kind of pique science's interest as to what, you know, the interdimensional theory really entails.
Mm-hmm. one of the things that pops into my mind right now, you're talking about wormholes and stuff, not really the same thing, but what popped in my head was all these stories I've been reading over the years about people working in mines and quarries and finding modern objects embedded in rock, which would indicate it's millions of years old. Have you ever heard anything about that? You know, people are finding like forged screws in rocks that are 200 million years old and stuff like that.
Yeah, these things turn up occasionally. I believe that some of them may be legitimate. There may have been other civilizations here that may have come in from the future at some point. I mean, you know, these people have had experiences with beings that don't necessarily look human but are humanoid-like. Who's to say that our descendants haven't come back from the future by some means, some type of time travel or through a wormhole or from the, you know, from another time to encounter the present day? I mean, I don't believe that's beyond reality. I think that there's a very good chance that these unknown terrestrial, non-terrestrial beings that we see, that people see and encounter, may actually be evolved humans of some type.
Well, I know there's like physicists out there, and I don't know much about it. This is all above my brain power. I'm a working man. But that time really doesn't exist. It's an illusion. So, again, I don't know how that works, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's just some weird quantum thing going on with wormholes, time, and we're just kind of ignorant. We live our lives day to day, you know, not expanding our consciousness to try and understand what's the bigger picture. And I do think that there's a bigger picture going on here.
Well, I think the reality is that there are numerous parallel universes on different levels that we just can't detect, you know, at this point. Now, there just seem to be too many instances of people just disappearing, things just disappearing, and for no apparent reason. Who's to say that they haven't crossed the veil somehow and gotten into another parallel universe, another world? It just seems to happen a lot. A lot of unexplained disappearances throughout the world.
Do you think that the disappearances are just because of the time travel and maybe a portal, or do you think it could be the government coming in and abducting people? What's your take on that, Lon?
I guess it depends on the situation. I believe that it's possible that the government somehow is involved with some type of relationship with these non-terrestrials, to the point where some humans or animals or such are used for experimentation. I don't think it's as widespread as people say it is or believe it is, but I think it does happen. I mean, I'm pretty sure there are numerous facilities that this type of activity does occur. But I believe for the most part, the disappearances, abductions occur because of some type of unknown opening into another reality. You know, it's unproven. You know, you talk a lot. I mean, some people mention, just like in the instance of a Bigfoot, I've heard people, you know, talk about, have people told me that they'd see one of these beings, these Bigfoot, or be tracking one, and the thing would just disappear suddenly, like it walked into a void. That happens a lot. And that's just not the only cryptid where it has happened. It just seems that some of these beings, and in particular what we've been working on here in Pennsylvania with these upright canines, these lichens, they just seem to pop up and then suddenly disappear or just take, you know, go into the void. I can't explain it. I just think it depends on the situation and the location. Some locations, for whatever reason, seem to harbor this type of phenomena. And I've noticed here in Pennsylvania in particular that there do seem to be a lot of areas where this type of anomaly will occur.
And are these canines literally upright? They walk on their hind legs?
Yeah. The description is very similar for the most part. If you know the movie, the Underworld series with the lichens and the vampires, it looks the descriptions are very similar to the lichens in that movie series. Very tall, some up to 10 foot in height. The human-like legs, arms, very muscular, but hair covered for the most part with wolf-like heads. And but we have never heard of an attack, an actual attack, but we've had people who have told us that they've walked up to these things and they don't run away. They stand their ground. And many of these witnesses have been armed as well and just are just scared or whatever reason, paralyzed to the point they can't draw a weapon on this thing.
I would imagine that would be pretty traumatic, a 10 foot werewolf, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there are two types that we have that have been described to us. The uprights, which are on the two, the bipedals, and there are also these quadrupeds, which I just call them dogmen. They kind of look like a large hyena with the sloped back, and though the head looks more like that of a wolf than a hyena, but they are like I said, they don't stand up on two legs. They're quadrupeds. We've had a few sightings of those in Pennsylvania as well. So I don't know exactly what we're dealing with. I don't believe for the most part they're indigenous, but I do believe that there very well may be some flesh and blood pockets of these things that do migrate from Pennsylvania down into the West Virginia area along the ridges. It seems like a lot of these sightings are along these ridge lines in the Appalachian and Allegheny Mountains. I don't know if that's actually true, but we have had reports of these things just suddenly showing up or having that supernatural look to it, to where it's either having a shiny like look or type of a hologram type of look to it. Just a few of those, but I'm not discounting anything at this point.
Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, are there any sightings that are around military bases or anything like that? I always think of, when I think about weird sightings, you know, maybe the possibility of them being sighted around government installations, you know, maybe like genetic experiments gone awry or something.
Well, here in Pennsylvania, there are a lot of old facilities that are no longer used.